This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa ba'ad. My voice is not loud?
No, it's just for the
camera. You were without the mic, right? I thought it was just normal. Jazakallah khair. One of the great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is that we can look back at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see how he was nurtured by Allah and how he was brought along by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 23 years that wahy was being given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see important transitions in his life. And in fact, you see those visible transitions in the way the wahy was given to the Prophet ﷺ. For the benefit of our brothers and sisters, inshallah, just a couple of points before we begin to speak about the great Prophet of Allah, Yusuf. One of those points is that in Islamic law and in the study of the Quran in particular, you find that there's a great distinction made between the Meccan surahs and the Medina surahs. And there's easy ways to identify whether the surah you're reading is revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca or whether it was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad in Al-Medina. And the distinction is great. The 13 years of the Prophet being in Mecca were formative years. They were years where the Prophet ﷺ was taught to lead, was taught to shepherd the people, was taught to bring them up upon the faith and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to inculcate within their hearts, planted firmly, that important principle of La ilaha illallah, and that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the great messenger Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you know which surah you're reading is Meccan or revealed in Al-Madinah? One easy way: if the surah begins with Huruful Hija, if it begins with Alif, Lam, Ra, such as Surah Yusuf, if it begins Alif, Lam, Mim, Ta-Sin, Ta-Sin, Mim, Qaf, Sad, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, Noon, all these surahs, you know right away were revealed in Mecca. Or if a surah has the mention of the name of another prophet and his story. Anytime you open the Quran, you read, and there's a story of a prophet who preceded the Prophet ﷺ, right away you know that that surah was in the first 13 years of Islam because they were important lessons to Muhammad ﷺ. It was the way of Allah saying to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, these are your predecessors. These are the ones who came before you. These are the ones who endured. These are the ones whose message has been delivered, and you are its continuation. So you see, Allah always usually begins these surahs, Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif, Lam, Ra, with the mention that this is a kitab being revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, and that its action is through his modality and through his sunnah ﷺ. And then Allah begins to narrate the qasas, the statements of the Prophets, as lessons to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which translate to lessons to you and I. And this is what we are gathered here for, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the few minutes that we gather together to be moments of barakah, moments of forgiveness, moments of mercy, moments where we are remembered with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us all once again in this worldly life in His obedience. And if He chooses to separate us in this life by our death or our differing circumstances, to gather us all once again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Yusuf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, U'ta shitra al-husn. Yusuf was granted half of all beauty. Now, it's not just his physical beauty, which all of us know. Yusuf was a beautifully formed creation of Allah. He was a created human being who had manifest beauty in his character and in his physical appearance. And the Prophet says half of beauty was given to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf was also an individual who endured a great many different difficult trials. Not just one trial or one tribulation, not just one adversity or one hurdle, but a climatic, systematic, continuous from the beginning to the end of his life, a non-stop test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to his father as the opening chapter of Surah Yusuf begins. He says to his father, "Inni ara ihda ashara, I see 11, I see 10 shining stars prostrating to me. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ 11 stars, I see him prostrating to me, and I see the sun, the moon, in a dream, bowed down to me. What do you think of this, my father, who is a prophet of Allah?" قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقْصُصُ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. Here's our first lesson from the life of Yusuf. His father immediately says to him, "My son, don't talk about this dream to your brothers. They're jealous. Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that these brothers of Yusuf, sons of prophets, sons, a lineage of prophets, Ala Ya'qub, a whole lineage of people, 11 sons who have such jealousy of their brother, who was younger of them in the family, who happened to be from a different mother than them, that it caused them to show that jealousy that their own father, a prophet of Allah, could identify it, that he would even fear that his son would mention a dream, not something real. If you and I were sitting and say, "Oh, last night I dreamt such and such happened," you're not going to take me seriously that it's something of profound significance. But to that extent they held and harbored animosity, to the point that Allah later in the next set of verses, He mentions the 11 brothers sat down together. قَالُوا اقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. The verse begins abrupt. قَالُوا اقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. They decided and said, "Kill Yusuf." Or put him فِي غَيَابَاتِ الْأَرْضُ. Put him in the depths of the earth. Bury him alive. Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that these men, sons of the prophets, were destined to be prophets of Allah? Later on, after their repentance, as we will see near the end of the surah, they become prophets of Allah. Subhanallah. What is the message there for you and I? It tells you that your heart, is a very powerful and significant motivator in your life. What you feel, that enmity that you have in your heart towards another, even if you don't declare it with the tongue, Allah tells you in the Quran that some people, they look upon you and I, and وَمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكْبَرْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ أَكْبَرْ. What's in their hearts, what's in their chest is worse than what they declare with you to you on their tongues. The heart, Ra'sul Amr, is the head of everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to us, as narrated by Imam Muslim, "Inna fil jasadi mudghah." In a human being, there's a morsel of flesh that's important for a circulatory system. When it stops beating, you die. But it's important that mudghah, this place of the heart, the proverbial heart, the spiritual heart, إِذَا صَلُحْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If your heart is pure, everything in your actions, everything in your statements, everything in the way you look at things, what you hear, what you observe, who you befriend, the employment you have, where you spend your wealth, where you lay your head at night, whom you marry, whom you divorce, how you raise your children, everything in your life is governed by qalbak. His brothers hated him in their heart. So they sat and they said, "How can we isolate our brother? Let's plot. Let's make a plan. Because you don't want to go and do it half-baked. You want to have a good plan." They said, let's tell our father we want to take our brother so that he can enjoy himself and run and play in the, you know, in the meadow. And you know that we'll take good care of him because we're his older brothers. But we'll later tell our father that a wolf took him away and we couldn't reclaim him. Tore him up. We couldn't find him or save him. And they said, that's a good idea. Let's not murder him ourselves. Let's put him in a cave. And that way, it's not something we've done with our hand. SubhanAllah. This is our second lesson. Self-delusion. You sometimes sit and wonder within yourself. Could be about prayer. Could be about your fasting. It could be about an illegitimate relationship you have with a brother or with a sister. It could be about your dishonesty in your studies, you copying from other people. Could be about things in your life that you sit and make premeditated attempts to beguile, to deceive, to cheat others. When in fact, you're harming yourself. They come to their father and they tell him this story. We'll take our son. He goes, Inni akhaf. The heart of the believer warns you. The great Prophet of Allah, Yaqub, he says to them, Akhafu, if you take this my young boy, that you're going to be heedless in how you take care of him. وَفَيَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. And a wolf will come eat him. A believer, you get that intuition. Have any of you ever felt that intuition, brothers? Don't be shy, I'm actually asking. It's not a part of the lecture, it's not a gimmick. Any of you ever have that feeling? No? No one? You never had that feeling, look, I should do this and not this? And I'm not just talking about halal and haram decisions. I'm talking about mundane things in life. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you knew you had to bring something with you. You've been thinking about it all night, the previous night. I gotta take this. You walk out the door, you didn't take it. You're halfway to your destination, you go back home and you didn't continue your journey. You've never had things change in your life, plans that you had that are altered by influence just in the change of your heart. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells you about your faith. Here we are, we're talking about animate moving objects, cars and drives and things like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to you that the qalb, the heart, bayna uzwa'in min asabi' ar-rahman, are held in the fingers of Allah. They're held, yuqallibuha kayfa yasha. Allah moves your heart from one to another. You have faith and it weakens. You have no faith, little faith, and it strengthens. You change moments in your life based on that heart. And that heart of Yaqub, it had that intuition. It says to them, I'm scared something's going to happen to my son. They finally convince him. They take him. They throw him in a cave. They rip up his shirt. They cut him to bleed him. And they take it back. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They came home late at night after Isha weeping. Actors, Oscar nominees, weeping. And Allah uses the med. Isha an yabkun. Qalu ya abana inna dhahabna. Nastabiqu wa tarakna Yusuf inda mata'ina fa akalahu dhi'. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا. Mad after mad after mad. To emphasize to you their deception, their dishonesty. And Yusuf remained in the cave. And the father took the shirt and wept. And his faith, his tawakkul upon Allah, shone through. He says to them, that whatever Allah has decided shall happen. Whether you're truthful or not, whether you've committed a crime or not, irrelevant, Allah shall sort it out. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ. Allah uses the waw, وَجَاءَتْ. It wasn't فَجَاءَتْ. If it was a fa, a caravan came, it means almost instantaneously. But Allah uses the waw to indicate that it was a longer period of time. Not فَاءُ التَّعْقِيبِ. Not an immediacy of salvation. Use of this young child in a cave. Allah didn't just send the caravan. The moment they left, the caravan saved them. No, He dwelled in there for moments, for minutes, for hours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows a length of time that wasn't simply a transition. And he was taken by people of status. Al-Aziz. The one of strength in Egypt. And his wife was unable to carry children for him. She said, نَتَّخِذُهُ وَلَدًا. We'll take him and claim him as if he's our own child. We've been on a long journey. No one knows. أَحْسِنِي لَهُ مَثْوَاهُ. Alright, change his appearance. Make sure he looks royal. Make sure he looks regal. Make sure he's comfortable. And we'll take him as a son for ourselves. The man requests this of his wife. He wanted a child. So he encouraged her to do this. Yusuf grows in maturity and beauty. Now I'm going to talk to you about something because there's this misconception that Muslim women are asked to wear hijab because women are so beautiful that, you know, if a man sees them, they go nuts, right? In fact, the only example given to us in the Quran is the direct opposite. The only example given to us in the Quran, as you'll soon see, is that these royal princesses who have everything that they want at that time in Egypt, they see a man, young man, they get so enamored, so moved by his beauty, physically only, that when they're cutting their apples, when they're cutting their fruit, they just can't stop looking at him, they slice their hands. Hijab isn't just simply about, oh, the woman has to be covered because she's pretty or beautiful, or it's that feminine physique where you put upon the Muslim man and upon men in general in society that essence or feeling that they're not responsible for their actions. No. The Prophet ﷺ in Hajjatul Wada', in the final Hajj, is sitting upon a riding animal. وَلَهُ رَضِيفٌ. And he has in his company someone sitting on the camel with him, or on the mule with him. The Prophet sitting, and sitting right beside him, behind him, is a young man, Shab. As it narrated in Sahih Muslim. فَأَتَتْ امْرَأَةٌ وَضِيئَةُ الْوَجْهِ. As the Prophet is there in Hajj, sitting behind him is a young man, on his, he's sitting so intimate to the Prophet ﷺ. A woman comes, wadi'atul wajh, whose face is beautiful. So the young man just, mashallah, sister. He's just looking. So the Prophet ﷺ says to him, usrif basar, look away. The Prophet didn't say to her, go cover your face. He says to her, he's answering her question. He says to the man, turn your glance. So the man looks away, but wadi'atul wajh, he's so beautiful. He can't control himself. Sitting partnered to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajj. So he looks back at that woman. This is Sahabi we're speaking about. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Isra basar, look away. The man looks away. He comes back third time. Then the Prophet holds his face, Isra basar, and turns his face away. Subhanallah. It's upon the man to have control of himself. That Muslim sister at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, in her description, they don't include her name in the hadith to honor her. Because it's shameful to describe, even in matters of beauty, the physical features of another. Yusuf grows in maturity and in physical beauty. And the woman who has been his surrogate stepmother, in a sense, is unable to control herself. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هِيْتَ لَكْ. In another way of reciting the ayah, وَقَالَتْ هِيْتَ لَكْ. In another way of reading, وَقَالَتْ هُيِّتَ لَكْ. All three, same letters, but mean slightly different things. هَيْتَ لَكْ means I'm ready for you. هِيْتَ لَكْ, you have to be ready for me as well. هُيِّتَ لَكْ, I've made myself ready. I've beautified myself, got myself ready for you. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and shut all the doors, you're not leaving. قَالَ هَذَا, Yusuf responds to her, هَذَا رَبِّي, the master of this house has been kind to me. مَعَذَ اللَّهِ, I seek refuge in Allah to protect me from you. And he ran. You know, there's that, they tell you, we're here in an institute of higher learning, right? They tell you human instinct is you fight or you flight. You either fight or run. He thought, I'm not going to hit the woman, I'm going to run. He runs. She grabs him from the back. He runs with such aggression away from her, it rips his shirt. And she has so much infatuated desire for him and an unwillingness to compromise that she keeps holding on from a grown man running away from her. And he heard his master coming. He could hear his entourage arriving. And they enter into the room. She immediately says, what are you going to do with a man who tried to take his master for himself? What are you going to do to him? He tried to rape me. Yusuf said, I didn't do anything like this. And there were other servants in the home who were listening in. They knew what she wanted. They could hear it. Because there was little talk in the village, in the Medina, in the city they were living in, that she wants this man. And they said to the Aziz, to the master, if his shirt is ripped from the front, then he was attacking her, she tried to push him off, she ripped him, his shirt, in self-defense. But if it's ripped from the back, he was fleeing. And the master saw that his Yusuf's shirt was ripped from the back, but sometimes, and this is lesson number 3, sometimes we fail to take the right decision, although we know we should. He sees that Yusuf is innocent. He sees that his wife is at fault. He even tells her, as Allah quotes to us in the Quran, "Min al-khati'in," that you have fallen into error. But he retains the same situation and punishes Yusuf according to her command in error. He leaves Yusuf in the home. He doesn't adjust the situation. He doesn't censure his wife. He doesn't move Yusuf away. He leaves the fitna as it is. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ مُرَأَيْتُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The women folk in the village, they began to say, the wife of our prince has been trying to lure her servant boy. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ. We see her as being in misguidance. How could anyone? He's a servant. He's a slave. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنْ, when she heard about their discussions, أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنْ, she wrote for them and invited them to come. And she gave each of them سِكِّينًا, a knife. وَقَالَتْ أُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ, and she said, come out, let them see what you really look like. Because they've only heard from me that you're beautiful, I've been hiding you. فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِنْ قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. They cut off parts of their hand, they sliced their hands open from his beauty, and they said, this is incredible of the creation of Allah. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, this isn't a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, this has to be an honorable angel. And this is actually one of the places that we see in the Quran that's proof, you know, that, wow, looks as beautiful as an angel, that we know that angels have beauty. Allah doesn't change that statement. Malakun Kareem. And all of them at that moment wished to pursue him. They basically sat and they said, look, you can have him on this day, I want him on that day. I want him on that day. And Yusuf made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord, save me from them, even if it means my imprisonment. فَلَبِسَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. In Arabic, the word bid'a means close to 10 years. Anywhere from 3 to 10 years. Allah answered his dua. He was imprisoned for his refusal. They didn't just put his life to end. You know, could you imagine someone at that time, the Pharaoh's wife, she claims someone tried to rape her. She intervenes on his behalf and she says, no, don't kill him. Just put him on the side there. I'll come visit. Right? She says, no, maybe in jail, give him a year. He'll come around. She doesn't know the persistence of al-mukhlasin. A mukhlas, a sincerely devout individual in his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah describes Yusuf, is one who isn't just mukhlasin. He isn't sincere in his action. Mukhlas is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in every facet of his life there is sincerity. In every word of advice, in every comment he makes, not just in his sincerity with his relationship with Allah, but in his dealings, in every facet of his life, he has the interests of others as important as his own interest. He remains in prison. He's eventually brought out of prison because of his ability to interpret dreams. This is lesson 4. Dream interpretation is a science in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ would sit with the Sahaba after Fajr and he would say to them, any of you see a dream last night? Tell me and I will give you its interpretation. We as believers know that the Prophet ﷺ has said that out of 70 levels that precede prophethood, the Prophet ﷺ went through 70 different things that he noticed as parts of his life before revelation came to him. One of those things was a ru'ya saliha, that he would see a righteous dream that would detail things to come later in life. Dreams are not just hallucinations. There are three types, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us. One that is from Allah, given to you as an inspiration, as a sign that you are to govern and lead your life in accordance to it. Two are the ramblings of your mind, the stresses of your mind. And three, the shaitan, seeking to influence you to one way or another. Many of us, we live our life day in, day out. We wake up, inshallah, we pray, we come to school, we go to uni, we pass our classes, we carry on, we continue with our life day in, day out. And one of the main problems with our Muslim gentlemen, young brothers, young sisters, is the progressive spiritual development is abrupt. You come to university and you might not have had, you know, a lot of exposure to Islam. Maybe your family, alhamdulillah, they're a little bit more developed. You come to university and you find brothers who are strong. You say, oh, strong believers. Strong brothers. So you become a little stronger instead of just going to a cafe. Oh, let's go do our prayer and then go. So you begin to develop a little bit. And that nurturing of your faith has to have indications. You have to see certain things in your life. Your heart has to lead you in certain directions. Your emotions have to be governed closer by your faith. Your ease in waking up for prayers, in fulfilling your obligations to Allah, become much easier than they used to be. And one of those indicators is that righteous dream. Think to yourself, what do you dream about? One day a man came to Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad, who was one of the great scholars of Islam. And he says to him, أَسْمَعُ أَنَّكَ تَرَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْمَنَامِ. He says, I hear that you see the Prophet ﷺ in your dream. Is it true? Imam Fudayl says, yes. He says, أَنَا لَمْ أَرَاهُ. The young man comes and says, I have never seen the Prophet ﷺ in my dream. Teach me how. So I said, I can teach you tonight. Come. Come to my home, Ba'd al-Isha. The man comes to the home of Al-Fudail after Isha prayer. He takes him from the masjid with him. He sits him down. And a meal is prepared. Heavy, heavy, heavy insult. Now don't get carried away. Don't go get some salt. Oh, I'm going to see the Prophet ﷺ. All right? Heavy insult in spices. And Al-Fudail encourages the man to eat. The man starts eating. He asks for water. He says, you know, after. He's eating. He's getting thirsty. No. We have to, the water's at the well. We'll go get it later. Go to sleep. I'll wake you up for your prayers. The man wakes up. And Al-Fudail says, huh, what did you see? He says, Ra'aytu anharan. I saw rivers. وَالْأَمْطَارُ And I saw rain, heavy rain everywhere. So Al-Fudail quotes to him a verse of poetry. He says to him, you wanted, what is translated as, you wanted water, so you were given it. Meaning you drank that water in your dream. It sufficed you. How many of us really want the Prophet ﷺ in our life? Like really, could you imagine the Prophet ﷺ walks in that door and meets you, and you know when he shakes your hand and looks you in the eye, Allah tells him, right? He knows. The Prophet would know who's a hypocrite and who isn't. The Prophet would walk into Al-Madinah Munawwara, he's informed of everyone. He knows who is whom. Who's this person, who's that person. Keep that in mind. Where are the indicators of the progressive nature of your life? And as such, Yusuf was in tune, and that was one of his greatest miracles given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability to interpret for others their dreams. And that was the salvation that brought him out of prison without dwelling on that story. Before he was allowed out, they asked the wife of Al-Aziz, did he really commit those crimes that you accuse him of? She said, قَدْ حَصْحَصَ الْحَقِّ Truth has finally found a voice. Sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters, the truth is known, but there's no voice for it. And a person can be put in a situation like Yusuf, years, بِضْعِ سَنِينَ, many years, and he knows the truth, and there's people on the outside that know the truth, and the truth is basically known with everyone, but everyone is shy to declare it. Until a voice is raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings it into the open. And that is an important principle in Islam. That is the moment of the repentance of this woman who becomes honorable in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere repentance. And she asks Allah for His forgiveness and seeks the pardon of Yusuf. He exits from prison and is made a person of authority in the land. And that is the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, da'iman wa abada, forever. Allah never leaves the oppressed in life without victory. Be sure of this. And the victory of Allah doesn't just necessitate that it's some financial reward or a payout or something of this nature. The victory of Allah could be as simple as their children are righteous, they have peace of heart, they have contentment with the little that they have, they live a clean life, it's made easy for them, their struggles in the worldly life thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives victory to al-mazloom. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ al-mazloom. Be well aware of the invocation of the oppressed individual. فَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ There is no barrier between it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُطَالِبُهَا اللَّهِ Allah invites it. وَيُنَاجِيهَا And Allah brings it up to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْتَ حِينَ I shall answer you and give victory to you even if it is many years down the road. Even if it is later on, you will be answered. And that is an important lesson from the life of Yusuf. That his life changes from that misery to that of success. And those who harmed him in his early years of life come begging him for food. They come and they find him. They can't recognize him because their hearts are so darkened towards him that they want no image of him. They want nothing to see of him. That although they will later recognize him, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ, are you really Yusuf? You kind of looked like him, but we didn't want to say it within ourselves. We didn't really want to believe it. But when he saw them, he knew them. And he saved his brother, Nakta. He took his brother from them, who was from his same mother. Because the hatred that they had for him was translating in hatred for his younger brother as well. The victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is profound. He is delivered the authority over them and brings them out of the poverty that they were experiencing by saying very simply to them, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. After they recognize his errors, their errors, after they come to know that it is their brother, that they had wronged him, that he is now a person of authority who is able to extract punishment upon them, he says to them what would later be quoted by the Prophet ﷺ to his people of Quraysh. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No harm shall come to you today. When the Prophet ﷺ was entering Mecca, a man by the name of Fudala said to himself, Muhammad has dishonored us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's brought this army. Our people can't face it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a little knife and I'm going to poison it really well. And when Muhammad enters into the confines of the Kaaba, when he comes to do his tawaf, I'm going to murder him. I'm just going to prick him with this sword, with this little knife. No one will see me. And the Prophet enters in victory into Mecca. And as he's circulating the Kaaba and has destroyed the idols and has come off his camel, the Prophet ﷺ is in his tawaf. Fudala tatabba'a. Fudala from a distance starts drawing closer. And when he is within eyesight, the Prophet ﷺ turns around and faces him. And he says, Ya Fudala ma tuhadithuka bihi nafsuk. Fudala, what are you talking? What are you conversing within yourself about? What are you thinking about at this moment? Fudala stops and he says, Jittu tuqan. I've only come in piety and in obedience to you. So the Prophet ﷺ turns back around and continues with his tawaf. فَتَتَبَعْتُ وَدَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ. I kept secretly trying to, you know, come closer to him, and I came really close. فَوَقَفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet stopped and turned to me. And when the Prophet turns, we know from his seerah, from his shama'il, when he turns, he doesn't just look over his shoulder. He turns to face you. He's a Prophet of Allah. Turns and faces him, face on. And he says, مَا تُحَدِّثُكَ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ يَا فُضَالَ. What are you talking within yourself about? What are you thinking of? And Fudala says, جِئْتُ تُقَنْ. I've only come in piety. Prophet turns around, continues his tawaf. فَتَبَّعْتُ دَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى أَكُونَ مِنْهُ ذِرَاعًا. I'm so close that I'm just an arm length away. I'm nearly there. فَوَقَفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَوَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَى صَدْرِ. The Prophet stops, turns, puts his hand on my chest. Fudala says, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. By Allah, who there is no God but He. مَا كَانَ. There was no human being. أَقْرَهُ إِلَيَّ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ. There was no one I hated on the face of the earth more than Muhammad ﷺ, before he touched me. فَمَا رَفَعَ يَدَهُ عَنْ صَدْرِ إِلَّا وَهُوَ أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيَّ. But by the time he took his hand off my chest, I loved no one on earth more than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes you have to reach out to people. Yusuf, he has brothers who hated him, threw him in a cave. He was abused. He was imprisoned. He was given power and authority and ability to extract revenge. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. You have nothing to answer for. Live as you wish. The Prophet ﷺ touches this man's chest and gives him freedom of his hatred. There are many people in the society that you live in here and other societies around the world where people don't know you. They don't know about Islam, they don't know about Muhammad, they don't know about the Quran, they know about what they see, they know about the terrorism that has been inflicted in our name. They know about people blowing subways and bombs and trains and buses. That's what they've seen. But you have to reach out, you have to touch the hearts and the chests of people. You have to show them the truth of our faith, the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That touch of the Prophet wasn't just a physical touch. That was the attention of the Messenger of Allah to a person who has come to murder him, and he says to him, I have no fear of you. I have love for you. I want to cure what you're talking about, that dialogue, that hatred you have. You feel I've come to take away the authority of Quraysh. La wallah. I've come to give you the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He touches him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we need to touch the hearts and the chests of these people that we live amongst who have harbored suspicions and enmity and hatred towards us. Unjustified, I know and you know. But can you blame people who don't know you, who see you as being different, who see you doing things differently? That is the way of Yusuf. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Go back into the earth. That is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who every day when he would walk in the streets of Mecca as he was going home, a woman would throw rubbish and refuse and garbage in his face. Every day. Then, one day she didn't come out. Second day she didn't come out. Third day he knocks on her door. Is everything okay? She says, مَا أَتَى بِكَ يَبْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ O son of Abdullah, what brought you here? قَالَ أَعُودُكِ I've come to pay my respects for you because you're sick. She says, وَلَدِي My son, يَسْكُنُ أَمَامِ He lives in front of me, his home is in front of me, لَمْ يَعُودْنِ Hasn't come to pay his respects for my illness. And you, who I throw rubbish in his face every day, you know I'm sick because I didn't throw garbage in your face? Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness you are the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your Prophet. That's the example he learned from Yusuf. La tathrib alaykum al-yawm. Go out, live into the world. I harbor no animosity towards you, no hatred towards you. And at that moment they recognize that he is better than them. So they bow to him, and his father and his mother bow to him. And he says, Ya abati hadha ta'wilu ru'yai qad ja'alahu rabbi haqqa. This is the answer of my dream I told you many years ago. My brothers are the stars. You and my mother are the sun and the moon. And this is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. It is important for us to observe these lessons from the life of the Prophet of Allah, Yusuf. It is an expansive story, and I, due to the shortness and obviously limitations, because we want to make sure that everyone gets home before it's excessively dark, I recommend for you a couple of audio tapes to listen to. One of them, and I'm not going to recommend downloading, right? Don't go to Islamic torrents or whatever it is that and just download the file. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's 10 of you brothers, each of you put 2 or 3 pounds, buy a set. Each of you listen to it, right? Each of you listen to a CD. Abu Ammar Yasir Qadi has a very nice and detailed tafsir, discussion and explanation of the story of Yusuf. Purchase it inshallah. Make it available maybe in your bookshop or the library that you might have for the student union. And continue with your knowledge of the great lessons from the life of the great Prophet of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam. Fi hadha al-kifaya, this is where I will end my discussion with you inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in our dunya and in our akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the truth known to us so that we follow it, and to show us the misguidance so that we will be distant from it. Allahumma ameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.